This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. We have we'll talk some more Venezuela stuff, colonialism, all this stuff. There's a bunch of things to go on this hour, including emails about it all. We'll talk about Tim Walz bouncing out of the race, so much more. But you know what time it is. It's been a couple weeks and I've missed it. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. We take a hero who earned a Medal of Honor for you new listeners every Monday, start of the second hour, and we read his citation. We remember the man. We remember his deeds. We remember that, look, you don't always go to a far-off land and go into the middle of Caracas and pull off an operation without anybody dying. That's not normally how it goes. The other guys have guns, too. Sometimes you go and don't come back. We got this email. We take email suggestions. Jesse, I saw an article the other day about the cancellation of the M10 Booker tank program. Normally, I wouldn't think twice about such a story, but this one bummed me out. I lived in central Nebraska for 10 years, and a week before we moved to Kansas, we were sitting around the fire with our neighbors, the Bookers, and they mentioned the Defense Department had been in contact with them about naming a tank in part after my neighbor's uncle, Robert D. Booker of Callaway, Nebraska, who was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in North Africa, World War II. It's disappointing that the M10 Booker has been scrapped, but a Medal of Honor Monday would be awesome. I love the show. Said his name is Kurt. All right, Kurt. Let's learn about Robert D. Booker, born July 11th, 1920, in Callaway, Nebraska. Shall we?
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty in action. On the 9th of April, 1943, in the vicinity of Fondouk, Tunisia, Private Booker, while engaged in action against the enemy, carried a light machine gun and a box of ammunition over 200 yards of open ground. He continued to advance despite the fact that two enemy machine guns and several mortars were using him as an individual target. Although enemy artillery also began to register on him, upon reaching his objective, he immediately commenced firing. After being wounded, he silenced one enemy machine gun and was beginning to fire at the other when he received a second mortal wound. With his last remaining strength, he encouraged the members of his squad and directed their fire. Private Booker acted without regard for his own safety. His initiative and courage against insurmountable odds are an example of the highest standard of self-sacrifice and fidelity to duty. It was a short one, but the man gave his life for this country, and as usual, we will honor him with taps.
Thank you. Rest in peace, brother.
All right.
Now, to wrap up this Venezuela stuff, because there are other things. I want to get to the Tim Walz stuff and your emails, and I'll get to those in a moment. Now, we should understand something. We have taken out the leadership of Venezuela. Their military leaders are, of course, talking tough like they all do. It's like every Middle Eastern dictator, you know, we will vanquish the infidels, and then they all just promptly go die, right? And they're all talking the same way in Venezuela right now. We're going to fight back. We're going to fight back. We're going to fight back. But we have their president. We have their first lady. We have their country surrounded. And Trump said this.
So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. And it has to be judicious because that's what we're all about. We want peace, liberty, and justice for the great people of Venezuela.
Okay. Now comes the hard part. It's not that the military part was easy. It was cool. It was amazing. It was so impressive. Other militaries couldn't pull it off. All those things are true. But now we have to make something out of nothing. Remember, Maduro stole his last election. That's pretty well established. Even Democrats admit that. But Hugo Chavez, the original communist dictator of Venezuela, by most accounts, he was elected legitimately. The people of Venezuela, for a variety of reasons, decided that they wanted a socialist leader. Now, how happy, how sad are the people about Maduro leaving? I don't know. There's all sorts of conflicting reports out there. Remember to question everything you see on the internet. Everyone likes to post videos now on the internet of Venezuelan people celebrating. I've got bad news for you. Most of those videos are not Venezuelan people celebrating. They're AI, they're old videos. What do we have now? What do we have in our possession? Well, if you want to do the Monroe Doctrine, which clearly the Trump administration does want to do, and it's correct to want that, now you have to install a government there that has to do two things. And these two things may very well conflict with each other. It has to, A, satisfy the will of the Venezuelan people. After all, it's their country. But B, it has to be a government that is not hostile to the United States of America. That's not easy. That's not easy at all. It's easy on a macro level to break things. It always has been. That's why the communists have been so successful with their revolution here. We have this wonderful country. They want to burn it down. It's easy to burn things down. It's hard to build a statue. Think about just a statue. Think about having to come up with the idea, the design for it. Think about acquiring the materials. You have to find the person or persons who can actually construct it for you. Once you get the statue constructed, then you have to get it to where it's going. You have to get the foundation down. You have to put the thing up. It's hard. It's costly. It's time consuming. How much time does it take to tear it down? Not much. It's easy to break things. It's another thing entirely to make things. We not only obviously want to do this in Venezuela. Well, now we have to do this in Venezuela because we've taken away their president. We want to do this in Cuba, Colombia, Mexico.
Cuba is ready to fall. You know?
Yes.
Cuba looks like it's ready to fall. I don't know if they're going to hold out. By the way, you have to do something with Mexico. Mexico has to get their act together because they're pouring through Mexico. And we're going to have to do something. We'd love Mexico to do it. They're capable of doing it. But unfortunately, the cartels are very strong in Mexico.
Simple.
Mr. President, Colombian President Gustavo Petro, a couple weeks ago, he said he's got to watch his ass. And today, he said he's not concerned about anything happening to him in the aftermath of this operation. So just what your message is
about
that?
Well, he has cocaine mills. He has factories where he makes cocaine. And, yeah, I think I stick by my
first statement. He's making cocaine and they're sending it into the United States. So he does have to watch his ass.
Okay. I'm all about this Monroe Doctrine stuff. I am. If we're done adventuring in dumps like Afghanistan and Iraq, sounds good to me. If we're going to take back control of our hemisphere so the communists are not going to set up shop on our doorstep, count me in. But don't think this is going to be as easy as Delta Force taking out a president and then a press conference saying we're going to run it. This is almost undoubtedly going to involve a military presence in places like Venezuela. What kind of opportunity does that present global communists if we have a military presence there? And there's another aspect to this maybe you haven't thought of, might make you wince a little, and then we'll do some emails. Before we get to that other thing, let's get to this. I have made one of the most cliche New Year's resolutions in the history of mankind. It's lame. Go ahead and roll your eyes now before I even say it. You ready? I told my family that I'm going to make 2026 the healthiest year I've had in years. Shut up, Chris. No one wants to hear from you right now. And I mean it, though. I would like you to join me. I'm not asking you to be some fitness freak. I'm not. I'm not asking you to eat bean sprouts for every meal. I promise I'm not. Maybe just little improvements. Maybe now's a good time for chalk. Maybe now's a good time to start your day with natural herbal supplements that will have you feeling better, more energy. Maybe that energy to work out, maybe it's chalk away for you. I love them. I've been a chalk customer for 4 years, every day. Join me. CHOQ. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to emails in a moment. Let me finish this up. Now we're going to run Venezuela. We're going to run it until we can hand over power to someone the people accept and someone who will be a lot more pliable, if you will, with the United States of America and our wishes. Okay. Have we thought about this? Have we thought about the fact that Democrats are so subversive, so anti-American, that the Trump administration chose not to brief them on the raid beforehand because they knew Democrats would leak that raid to the media? Now think about this. If that raid had been known ahead of time, our men would have died, at least some of them. To tell the enemy ahead of time, the time and place where you're coming, guarantees American troops dead. Guarantees somebody's son, husband, father dies. And Democrats are so anti-American, so subversive, the Trump administration didn't even tell them.
Maduro is a horrible, horrible person. But you don't treat lawlessness with other lawlessness. And that's what's happened here.
That's why they're all freaking out about it. That's why they're all mad. Headline, Rubio to Democrats who wanted Congress to approve Maduro capture. Quote, couldn't afford leaks. It was just simply known. It's just accepted in Washington, D.C. Democrats hate America so much that they would have leaked the raid to kill our troops so Donald Trump would look bad. And by the way, I should note, still somebody leaked it allegedly to media outlets. Still, word got through. Now, this is all alleged right now. I should note that if they do find that leaker, there are only two appropriate courses of action. arrest that person, try that person, and execute them on live television. That's treason. That's open treason against the United States of America. That's an effort to get our troops killed. You should kill that person and kill them publicly. If you don't kill that person publicly, I mean, arrest them, try them, and kill them publicly, you should leak that person's name to Delta Force. I promise you they will handle things from there in their own way. That's the only course of action. But said all that aside, we now have to run Venezuela. Democrats were going to leak the raid to get our troops killed before the raid. Think how complicated and difficult it's going to be to establish an entirely new form of government in Venezuela. This is with China angry about the whole thing. China's furious, already putting out public statements. International law! Russia, we have been very publicly sending weapons over to Ukraine to kill Russian troops for years now. How willing do you think Russia would be to get some stuff in there to kill our troops in Venezuela? And that combined with the fact that one of our two major political parties wants us to fail in Venezuela. Here's Senator Chris Van Hollen, Maryland.
Those Democrats really should come out and on the record, let's have a debate. This is not a win for the American people. Running Venezuela and talking about putting American lives at risk to go into Colombia or Cuba or wherever it may be is not in our interests.
How quickly do you think Chris Van Hollen will work with the enemy to subvert what we're trying to do and get our people killed to score political points? Our road ahead would be extremely difficult if we had two parties at home who at least all love the country. Of course, screw-ups and dumb and corrupt and all the things that politicians generally are anyway. But if at least you could agree on, hey, we all love America, right? Like, you know, think back to World War II. There were differences between Democrats and Republicans. You're not leaking information to the Nazis in back channels if you're a Republican back then to get troops killed just so you can hurt FDR's poll numbers. That's not something that you would do, but that is very much where we are here in the United States of America. And Republicans know it. The Republicans in Washington, D.C. know it. You couldn't risk telling even the highest ranking Democrats about this raid because you knew either they or someone who works for them would have leaked it to the media or leaked it directly to Venezuela to get our troops killed. We now have to operate a regime change operation in foreign lands with that level of subversion back home. To say I'm concerned would be putting it mildly. I'm very concerned. And I've expressed this to you before. I don't think the United States of America, because of the Democrat Party today and how sick and demonic it is, I do not believe the United States of America could possibly prosecute a large-scale foreign war of any kind because I think Democrats would try to make us lose. That's a tough place to be, isn't it? All right. You have a bunch of emails. I haven't done a single one. I've been gone for 2 weeks. We're going to knock out some emails. Then we'll come back. We'll talk about Tim Walz. We'll even make fun of New York City. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Let's do some emails. I'm way behind. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, explain how this trial for Maduro is going to work. All right. So stop for a second. I have the exact same concerns you have. Maduro is currently sitting in New York City. New York City, corrupt, communist, all these communist judges. What's the trial going to look like? What's the jury going to look like? I don't know. No, nobody knows how that's going to turn out. The trial portion of it is not what actually matters most, because even if he's found not guilty, he's not going to be reinstalled into Colombia somewhere. He'll go into exile in China. He'll go into exile in maybe Cuba. That might not last long. Don't worry about that right now. The trial part of it, again, kind of a side thing. They were working out a legal justification for it. The reason the Trump administration continues to cite drugs, it's not that they don't care about drugs. They do care about drugs. They do, to their credit. They care about it. Part of the reason they continue to cite that is they're calling these people terrorists. Cartels are terrorist organizations. This is now a terrorist organization. Hey, the government of Venezuela, it's run by the Cartel of the Suns. That's a terrorist organization. When you designate somebody, because of all the various laws and things we've done, when you designate somebody as a terrorist organization, it gives you freedom to do things you wouldn't otherwise be allowed to do. All right? That when they say terrorists, it comes back to drugs. They said, hey, they're dealing drugs. That's terrorism. You're now terrorists. That's the legal justification they're using to doing things they're doing. All right? Jesse, great mission to get Maduro, but they didn't get his VP or the other top people. Won't they just now tighten up their illegal hold on power? Okay, kind of, maybe. Rubio had a back and forth on I think it was Meet the Press. NBC's Meet the Press, he had a back and forth on this, talking about, we're not going to have a country like Venezuela in our hemisphere, and she's pushing back. Here is her, no, it's not NBC, sorry. It's a CBS, what is it called? What's her stupid, Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan, Face the Nation.
He's still in place. The defense minister, who has deep ties to Russia, $15 million price on his head. He is still in place. I'm confused. Are they still wanted by the United States? Why didn't you arrest them if you are taking out the narco-terrorist regime?
You're confused? I don't know why that's confusing to you.
They're still in power.
I mean, it's very simple. You're not going to go in and wrap up. You can't go. You're going to go in and suck up five people. They're already complaining about this one operation. Imagine the howls we would have from everybody else if we actually had to go and stay there 4 days to capture four other people. We got the top priority. The number one person on the list was the guy who.
All right, the VP's hiding out in Russia. Venezuela's already, apparently they're out there rounding up anyone they think might have been involved, pulling their fingernails out, all the lovely stuff they do down in that part of the world. All right, it's really, really bad. Don't ever underestimate the importance of sending a message. I mentioned at the end of last hour, I mentioned that as soon as they had a communist takeover and they seized assets that belonged to American companies, oil assets, if we couldn't take them back, we should have nuked them right there. Not actually nuclear weapons, but we should have just destroyed all of them. Carpet bombed them all out of existence. Why? Well, that'd be expensive. What's the... You have to send a message. You have to send a message to the world. You don't get to take our stuff and then use our stuff. No. That doesn't work. That way other people get the message. Did you know? You probably already do. There was a Chinese delegation in Caracas when this operation went down. They were physically there in Caracas. They had just showed up. Boom, we come in and steal the president out. What kind of a message do you think that sends to China? In China, that culture, they need messages like that, showing strength, showing weakness. These things are extremely important. Sending a message. I realize governments like Colombia right now. Colombian president's talking tough. Well, come get me. I'm not worried. Believe me, that's a lie. He's very, very worried. If the United States of America has the ability to completely disable, we shut off the power of the country, we disabled all your radar systems, we walked into your highly secured compound in the middle of the night and black bagged your president and his freaking wife without losing somebody, that sent a message to everyone else on planet Earth about what can happen to you. Because here's what happens, especially when you're in power. All these Venezuelans talking tough right now, they're all not sleeping well because previously, I don't know, 72 hours ago, how long ago was this raid? 96 hours ago. You know what they're looking around and you know what they see? Armored cars everywhere. Look at all these guys with guns. Look, I mean, sure, America could hurt us. They could blow up a ship here, or they could blockade this or there. But me personally, my personal safety, it's all but guaranteed. Did you see? It's really cool if you go look at it, by the way. Did you see the aerial picture of the compound where Maduro was? It was in the middle of the freaking jungle, in the mountains. It was completely secured by his people in the middle of the jungle. And we went in there and just stole him and killed all his security personnel. What I'm trying to say is it's an understandable concern. Hey, they still have a vice president who's alive and in Russia. And they still have this general who's talking tough. And their defense secretary is, of course, talking a lot of mess on TV. We will never give up. Oh, I know the bluster is coming hot and heavy. They're all afraid right now, all of them. We just sent a message to everybody. You should be concerned if we're upset. And that's a very important message. It was like the opposite of it. Think about the opposite of it, the Afghanistan collapse. We looked so bad. We looked weak. The Taliban are throwing military parades, driving U.S. equipment with our weapons. It made us look so bad. And the rest of the world, China and Russia included, they took notice of that. That's the wrong message. You look weak. You look incompetent. Other people watch that and they think, okay, I can do something here. What's one of the reasons Khrushchev started getting bold enough to move nuclear weapons into Cuba back in the day? He met with John F. Kennedy, thought he was weak. And Kennedy didn't turn out to be weak, right? In the end, we worked it out. But Khrushchev had a personal one-on-one meeting with Kennedy and said, oh yeah, we're good to go. Let's get some nukes in Cuba. This kid is small. He's young. He doesn't have what it takes. We'll push this kid around. One meeting. And Khrushchev decided, yeah, America's weak. Sending a message matters. I know we didn't clean out all the gunk, but sending a message matters. All right? Jesse, Happy New Year. The best Christmas gift is having you return on air live. Looking forward to listening to you in 2026 with more political insight, comically dry humor, amazing history features. As a matter of fact, I was thinking maybe you could discuss the Battle of Hastings and the Norman conquest of 1066. I am strongly considering the Battle of Hastings because it's, one, a very, very cool battle, and two, not many people know much about it. All right, we'll touch on Tim Walz, Minnesota, the Somali fraud stuff. Hang on.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Monday. We already did Medal of Honor Monday. We talked all kinds of Venezuela stuff. Missed any of that? You can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So let's talk about Tim Walz. What a fall from grace, huh? Think about this. 5 minutes ago, Tim Walz, he was the VP nominee for the Democrat Party of the United States of America. Now, we all know Kamala Harris, dome, she got blown out in the election. I know that. You know that. I got it. But a couple things go wrong here, a couple things go wrong there.
Doam wins that election, and Tim Walz is now one heartbeat away from the presidency. Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota. It was a big deal to be a governor. Today, steps up, announces he's not running for re-election. Of course, he's always blaming Trump and everything else.
I don't want to mince words here. Donald Trump and his allies in Washington and in St. Paul and online want to make our state a colder, meaner place. They want to poison our people against each other by attacking our neighbors. And ultimately, they want to take away much of what makes Minnesota the best place in the country to raise a family.
Now, I've seen a lot of confusion today on why Tim Walz would do this. Why would Tim Walz resign? Why would he, well, not resign, but why would he announce he's not running again? And I've seen people say, well, Tim Walz is owning it. Remember, we haven't had this talk in a while. The system being the communist system where they've infiltrated most of the institutions and they all work together now to destroy America and loot the treasury. That is the system. It is most easy for me to think about it as if it's a mafia family, an organized crime family. What is priority one for an organized crime family at all times? Protecting itself. There is nobody, including who you might think of as the boss of an organized crime family, who is bigger or more powerful or more important than the family protecting itself. Do you remember? I like to joke because I'm stupid and arrogant about being an oracle. That's why I call myself an oracle. But you do remember when I called it a long time before it happened that Joe Biden would not run for re-election. Do you remember what I said? I said he won't run. He won't be allowed to run. Now, how did I call that? Because I'm not an oracle and I do not have a high IQ at all. How did I call it? How do I know that? Well, the Democrat Party, they are the communist revolution in the United States of America. They are the system. Joe Biden, even as sitting president, is not more powerful than the system. And Joe Biden, due to his dreadful poll numbers, threatened the system's power. And so Joe Biden got a little talking to. It was Nancy Pelosi. It was other board members, other bosses, if you will, in our communist system. They sat down old Papa Joe. I'm sure there were threats. I'm sure there were bribes. We'll never know all the details. But what we do know is Joe Biden was not asked to step out. Joe Biden was told, step out. Thanks for your services, Joe. Bye-bye. There is nobody, no communist in this country, no elected Democrat, no communist in corporate America, finance, media, anywhere. There is nobody who is larger and more important than the system doing what its number one goal is, and that's protecting itself. That all this Somali fraud stuff, it's not just that it's hurting Tim Walz. This Somali fraud stuff, what it did was it broke containment from the political bubble that you and I live in. We're the hyper-informed, right? We're the ones that are, even on Christmas vacation, we're browsing the news every day, we're thinking about things. That's you, though. You're weird. I'm weird. We're weird people. Normies, they were all just watching football. They just wanted to go to church, travel to meet family, watch some football, have a Christmas ham. They didn't care about politics. But when they're having a hard time making ends meet and they find out every single person apparently we've brought here from Somalia, it's not everyone, but every single person we've brought here from Somalia has been leeching off the taxpayer while they're having a hard time making ends meet, it made normies furious. I hung out with normies my entire Christmas break. They were all spitting mad about it. It broke containment and it got to the normies. Well, what happens is if anything gets to the normies, stuff that makes Republicans look bad or Democrats look bad, that's doom for that political party. Tim Walz, He didn't own anything. I guarantee you, maybe we'll find out one day, maybe we won't. I guarantee you, Tim Walz got a phone call. Tim Walz got an uncomfortable knock at the door by a messenger. Maybe a powerful person, maybe a messenger of a powerful person. And it went something like this. Tim, this Somali fraud stuff looks bad. From what I hear, as more stuff comes out, it's going to look even worse. It's making the family look bad, Tim. We can't have the family look bad, Tim. You need to go. And look, he's a governor. He's been a loyal servant of the system. I'm sure there was probably an offer made as well. Tim Walz will end up making $250,000 a year teaching one class a week at the University of Minnesota or something like that. Tim Walz will make $500,000 a year sitting on the board of the League of Trannies or whatever new communist organization there is out there. I'm sure there's a little something to wet his beak on the way out the door. Hey, you got to give up the governor's mansion. Sorry about that, Tim. We can't have you bring the family down. But again, just like a mafia family, hey, you're going down. You got to go to prison for 20 years. You start squealing, well, we might have to kill you. Maybe your wife too. If you just be a good soldier and shut your mouth and go off to prison, your kids, we'll buy them a car. We'll pay for their college. Your wife won't be hurting. Be a good soldier now and shut your mouth and go off to the pen. The communists run it as if it's a mafia family. They're all expendable. Every single one of them. And the second you threaten the safety of the system, you're done. That's it. Doesn't matter what your prior service is. That's it. Jesse, got both my wife and son who goes off to college next year, Berna's for Christmas. It was the best Christmas ever. Best thing about it is her Berna is now my wife's best friend. Hasn't left the house without it since she got it. Thanks for advertising this wonderful product, says his name is Chris. What does your wife carry to protect herself? Berna shoots pepper balls, tear gas balls, kinetic rounds. It's legal in all 50 states. As they destroy public safety, what does your son carry, your daughter, off to college? You just going to sit at home at night and cross your fingers? BYRNA. Berna.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Berna.com. We'll be back.